Our scripture for this morning is on the back of your bulletin. It's Luke, the 17th chapter. And we're going to take the first four verses and go other places also. But right now, Luke 17, 1 through 4. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into a sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." May the Lord bless our reading of His Word and our hearing of it. I hope that you're remembering that all during the months of May and June, we're giving special focus to our families and to the Christian home. Now, years ago, you know, we used to have a Baptist special emphasis of Christian Home Week. Started on Mother's Day Sunday and ran through that week all around the first part of May. And then when we got down to the third Sunday of June and Father's Day, we reminded ourselves that for all those 40 days or so time, the Christian home had been a month-long focus of our church. Now, we've added some other special family concerns, and we have Graduate Sunday, as we did a couple of weeks ago. Again, if our graduates were here, we'd congratulate them and best wishes to our, well, we still congratulate them, and best wishes to all of our young folks who finished a stage in their schooling and are already looking forward to the new adventures and the new challenges. And then there's today, Children's Sunday, our Children's Sunday, our very unique Sunday of the year, to look lovingly at the children of our lives, the children of our church. And I regret to shine a spotlight on this challenge to us in particular of Bosque Del Baptist. We are currently a church with very few children. I'm using that term children to title any child of our families from birth all the way up through high school. Very, very few that we see here on Sundays anymore. So this Children's Sunday should emphasize to all of us, as the Bible suggests, let's go out into the highways and the hedges and bring them in. That said, I want to turn our attention now to families as a whole. And we'll address the children of our families as much as we possibly can. As a matter of fact, think of it this way. We are all children of someone. And our best thought for Children's Sunday is we are all children of God. Now, all human beings are mistake makers, including, we make too many mistakes in our precious families. And main reason for that is a very obvious truth. We are all imperfect creatures. Reason number one for our imperfections, we sin. I know to bring sin into the conversation begins to make us all uncomfortable, but that's where the second chapter of reality follows the wonderful first chapter. In that wonderful first chapter, in the beginning, at first, God created the whole of the world that He wanted to have because He wanted a very special kind of relationship. Some people who were close enough to being like Himself that we humans were created in His own image. So at the end of the 6 days of time of creation, God looked at his creation, and mind you, including mankind, male and female, and he declared all of creation good. Good. And God, who can tolerate nothing less than perfection, says good to his perfect creation. Mm-hmm. Pay attention now. When man was created, he and she started out perfect, sinless. But shortly, by chapter 3 of Genesis, the man and the woman both did just one thing God had told them not to do. But that one thing was the beginning of sin and the loss then of our human perfection. And we've been struggling with doing things God doesn't want us to do ever since. Remember a few short minutes ago, we are now imperfect creatures. We sin. We sin against God. We sin against ourselves. We sin against others. Well, let's think family. Sometimes parents mistreat their children. Married partners mistreat each other. Children mistreat their parents. Children within the family mistreat each other. All members of the family, that whole family circle, stand in the need of practicing the teachings of Jesus. And when this mistreatment of each other in our families occurs in any way, we point to forgiveness as taught by Jesus. Now, I don't mean to harp on this, but I come back to this. All human beings are mistreated by someone else in some way or another. Each of us at times will experience some kind of injury or injustice at the hands of others. And I suppose it is most hurtful when this happens within the family. You've seen this. You've all seen this. Maybe experienced one or more of these hurts within family. Parental abuses, mistreatment within the bonds of marriage. Some parents have experienced painful and repeated injury at the hands of their children. Perhaps stupidity or selfishness of a brother or a sister. Okay, I think that's enough. It hurts to even think about those things. But too many times, these hurts and harms are a part of family life, and we shouldn't ignore them. So the constructive question is, how should you deal constructively with injury and abuse at the hands of family members? As professing Christians, we are instructed and then charged to heed the teachings of Jesus Christ at this point. Jesus suggested, recommended, requires that we use a forgiving spirit and attitude in dealing with any and all oppression and or ill treatment that is ever inflicted on us. Of course, you do have other choices and methods, and now I'm going to mention for a moment here just a few, just for comparison. I just have to say, our Lord Jesus would not want you to do any of these that I'm just going to talk about, and yet we often do. See, what you recognize and maybe have done yourself, look at these. Caution. Each one of these is just plain sin. Because, of course, these methods are against the wishes of God, and that's where we started, original sin. So other choices you might make when someone is in your family or mistreats you, these are those. You can resort to retaliation. That is, you can be vindictive or try to cook up some revenge. You can strike out and return evil for evil, blow for blow, contempt for contempt, and or insult for insult. Or you can suppress your hostility and painfully build it up inside yourself. You know, to suppress hostility is to let it smolder and build up within you. And the result will eventually be the creation of what's happening lately in Hawaii, a volcanic explosion. Seriously, suppression will contribute to an attitude of hate that will poison your whole system. Or you can resort to a self-destructive retreat into self-pity. What's sinful about self-pity? Well, when we resort to self-pity, it inevitably leads to discouragement, and despair, and depression. And the God who created us in His own image is never discouraged, does not despair. And God created us to be as much like Him as possible in His own image. Well, with all of that painfully in mind as to what we might do if we don't look to Jesus, well, let's instead do that. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look to the teaching and the examples of Jesus Christ as the only godly ways to deal with any abuse that we may receive and for today, what might happen within the family. Through all of His life, Jesus had one method for dealing with mistreatment. So I'll repeat what I said just a minute or so ago. Jesus suggested, recommended, and requires that we use a forgiving spirit and attitude in dealing with any and all oppression and or ill treatment that is ever inflicted on us. His personal method of dealing with mistreatment at the hands of others, I'm sure, amazed and shocked every person standing right there when He said it, hanging up there in great pain on the cross. It was one of the most extreme to us of what we call the last seven words of Christ, the final sayings of Jesus from the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." I suspect that when Jesus tells us to forgive, it really is a more profound and deeper concept than we can even imagine. But we should try. Profound and deep, looking to Jesus. These truths are what our human eyes can see and our human mind can understand from His actions and from His teachings. So we get as far as we can with our human eyes and our human minds. Possibly there's more, but I think these ideas will give us a start. And for our thoughts, particularly on family today, let's do all that we can to apply to our desires and actions within our own families. And oh yes, wouldn't it be great if our family life were also in the image of God? Amen. To forgive is the overarching principle. To forgive is to reject any assumed right to retaliate, to strike back, to return evil for evil. I imagine all of you recall how Joseph in Egypt gave us a remarkable Old Testament example of a brother so completely forgiving the terrible ill treatment that he had experienced many years before at the hands of his own brothers. You can find this in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. There was no retaliation. There was no striking back. There was no returning evil for evil. Just forgiveness. To forgive is a deliberate decision when you've been abused or harmed by a family member not to harbor hostility toward the one who inflicted the injury on you. Thinking again for a moment about Joseph, when his brothers came to Egypt so many years after they had sold Joseph off into slavery as a young lad, it's amazing and instructive to see how he had deliberately refused to allow himself to suppress or to harbor any hostility toward them, and then to burst it out of himself as soon as he saw them appear. Just not there. The fact was, he had achieved a power that he now could have done anything he wanted to do to them. But he decided not to have hostility, rather only to show them love. To forgive is to deliberately decide to return good for evil, to restore a broken relationship, to reestablish a shattered fellowship. Again, Jesus is the ultimate example. And as the example, we are to look to follow him. So let's take these three, one at a time. Return good for evil. How evil of us to nail him to a death on the cross. How good of him to repay our evil by granting us eternal life in the glories of heaven. Restore a broken relationship. We humans broke the perfect relationship of God and the relationship God had with humans by our sin just after our creation. How restored that relationship is because of Christ's bringing us back to the Father by paying the full price for our sin. Reestablish a shattered fellowship. In our sin, we lose fellowship with God. But the Apostle John writes at the very beginning of 1 John 1, says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, I want you to notice that he writes, is with, not will be with. It already has been reestablished. Already. Likewise, in his image, we are to step up and be the one to reestablish any fellowship that's been shattered in our family. So let me repeat those threefold scope of that third point. To forgive is. To forgive is to deliberately decide to return good for evil, to restore a broken fellowship, to reestablish a shattered, to restore a broken relationship, to reestablish a shattered fellowship. The fourth point of these to forgive is to restore a warm relationship. To forgive is to relate to any other family member in terms of what is the highest and best for that one who has mistreated you. And yes, Jesus is our very good example here too. Speaking of neglect and hurt, one of the most prominent of Jesus' disciple family brothers, Peter, turned away from Jesus at one of the greatest downtimes of Christ's life, his trial at the end. Peter denied that he even knew Jesus while Jesus stood alone in front of the accusing Sanhedrin. And what did Jesus do with his denier, Peter, when he rose up from death? He received, he loved, and he empowered Peter to be greater than he had ever been before in his life. And the fifth point of what it is to forgive, forgiveness and forgetfulness are not one and the same thing. To forget is just to put something away once and for all, not to deal with it. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is to be repeated over and over every time the hurt or the harm is recalled to mind. You know, Jesus was presented a question. How many times must I forgive? The Jewish legal seven times? Jesus in Matthew 18:22 said, I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. By insisting on the repetition of forgiveness, Christ was seeking to ensure us against the destructive effects that are certain to come toward us if we refuse to practice forgiveness. Well, it's time for a little personal testimony here to the truth of this in families. And, And some of you may have a similar family story. I hope you don't. I've known a family, well, known them a long time, where for several decades, a couple of mistreatments occurred. And forgiveness was sought and refused again and again. And now, many years after the fact, after forgiveness could have, would have restored family fellowship, forgiveness has been offered from one side but not the other, and family fellowship has never been restored. I believe God has sorrow over that family, and I do too. Christ's answer is the answer. Mm-hmm. Forgive. The practice of forgiveness toward others, because today we're thinking in our families, is based, it's just based on our pre-forgiveness by our Father God offered up for His family. Acknowledging this, Paul said, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." He wrote that to the Ephesians. He repeated these same words of encouragement to the saints at the church at Colossae. But remember, God's forgiveness of us is hindered if we do not forgive those who have sinned against us. We're all instructed well by the model prayer Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. You find it in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And in the middle of it, He told us to pray, "Forgive us our debts," that is our sins, "as we also have forgiven our debtors," those who have sinned against us or harmed us. And then as an addendum to that part of the prayer, Jesus added verses 14 and 15. He says, "If you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others their wrongdoings, your Father will not forgive your offenses." And the Apostle Paul added another insight to what might be going on if we find it hard to forgive our brother or sister or mother or father or son or daughter. You know, family. See. Paul warns us that Satan loves to lead us down the wrong path. Amen. Even in the forgiveness of someone in the family. He wrote to the Corinthian church family. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. "What I have forgotten, what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." Truth is, it is never easy to be forgiving toward those who have sinned against us, hurt us. And I think this might be especially true of those who are most close to us. But somehow, in the grace of God, if we will remember and recognize the tremendous price Jesus Christ paid so that we might experience God's eternal forgiveness, we will then surely find the help we need to be forgiving toward those who have been unkind and who have brought what we have felt to be injury into our heart and life. And I must also say this. To be forgiving is not a price we pay for the privilege of being forgiven. Jesus has told us plainly, it is a condition we must meet in order to receive God's forgiveness. And so I quote him once more. "If you don't forgive others their wrongdoings, your Father will not forgive your offenses." So, this is Children's Day. Children of God, let's all go forth from this family, gathering together in the blessed building of Bosque Del Baptist Church, to the abodes that we call home today, asking our Father God to give us the grace to be forgiving always at home, and also toward all others who've sinned against us, as our Lord Jesus has told us, in order that we might daily experience the joy of His forgiveness. Happy Children's Day, God's kids.